I was born in 1928 on a farm in Minnesota on the Canadian border. There were 7 million family farms in the United States at that time. 7 million. I don't know what the number is now, but 500,000 maybe? Something like that.
And I
lived through a time when the farm work was done by hand or by horse. And in my lifetime, we've gone from hand and horse to computer and satellites. In one lifetime. The result of all this technology is just unbelievable. And it's not ending yet, nor should it. I think that we're going to be up to the challenge. There's going to be expanded trade with the world, as these gentlemen have talked about. That is so vital. The United States cannot be an island unto itself. For a lot of reasons, that'd be a horrible mistake. For one, we'll have to go to war every other week. And so trade is crucial. And the world's population will continue to grow. And many of those countries don't have the land to feed their own population more than a bare minimum diet. And if they're going to expand their diet to include some meats and other things that we take for granted, they're going to have to import it. The United States will be able to meet that requirement because we have this technology that has enables us to grow these tremendous crop supplies, and there'll be some changes made in the meantime. I know it takes, you know, with the drought this year and the price of grain that's gone up, putting real strain on the livestock industry, the feeding aspects of it. But this will change, I suppose. But eventually, we may eat more cereal and less meat, eventually. That may come because of the growing population in the world. We can't feed everybody all the time. We can just take care of some of the incremental growth.
Any other thoughts on overproduction?
The specific answer to your question, and it's really a good question, is one of the key questions for everybody in the world to ask these days. I think the simple answer to your question is that nobody knows. You have a lot of experts who are expressing their opinions on this subject, but they do not know. So let's just look at a couple aspects of it. The first one is that we could feed a whole lot more people in this world just by eliminating half or more of the waste that exists today. We probably waste in the world a third or so of all the food that's produced. Well, you can feed a whole lot more people if you reduce that dramatically. And there are, you know, ways to do that. So that's one factor. Secondly, I don't think we're through improving technology either. Some suggest that the pace of advancing technology is slowing down, but it's still pretty darn good. And American farmers are getting better and better and better. I look back at my state of Nebraska and, you know, the situation that existed when I grew up. There were a lot of pretty lousy farmers still around in the 1940s. There aren't very many of those around these days. Farmers have gotten better and better and more productive and more productive. But I think that's going to continue to happen. And then we're going to add farmers in places like Brazil who are getting better by the day. And that's going to accelerate in a big way with the kind of farm prices that exist today. So my view is that it's not going to be as nearly as big a problem to feed the people of the world between now and 2050 as many folks prognosticate today. The world is going to get that done between now and 2050. I can't see beyond that. That's too far out. However, there's some aspects to that that are critical in the short run, and one is that we have farmland prices now that are up at astronomical levels, way beyond anything that we've seen in the past. And the question is, can we make those prices, $10,000-$15,000 an acre, work? I get a little worried about that. We went through, I remember going through that in the 70s at somewhat lower prices when we had the same kind of spikes. We paid dearly for that in the 1980s, as Jack Block will remember better than anybody else. We better just be a little bit careful that we don't repeat history once again. I think our farmers, fortunately, who are buying at these kinds of prices, are in better shape financially than they were in the 70s. But they better be in pretty darn good shape if they're going to amortize $15,000 an acre land.
Yeah, I would want to agree entirely with Clayton and Bob, too. A sidebar on that is, you know, there's a lot of debate about food versus fuel, and I don't want to get too deep into it, except to just say that that's just another market for grain. That it's a market, and if we had a new country in the world said we want to buy your grain, we'd sell it to them. Well, we've got a market in making biofuels. It's a reality, and ethanol is cheaper than oil-based gasoline by about a dollar. And so I think it's probably going to continue to be there unless something dramatic happens to the cost of oil and the cost of energy. I don't know how long it'll stay like that. So I think the markets are going to go up and down. I would agree that the prices are really high on land and grains and corn. I mean, $8 corn, I never imagined that ever. So it goes down. It may go down some. We've lived this roller coaster all of our lives in agriculture, and I don't think that's going to change. But when the market changes, then it kind of is telling us, well, we don't want as much of that. We want more of something else, and it happens all the time. And then farmers and agriculturalists react to it. And with high-priced grains, we're going to see some things happening in parts of the world that have not been producing. In Africa, there's a huge amount of unutilized land, an improperly managed land. Well, listen, at a price, let me tell you, somebody's going to go over there and make it work. We just have to wait and see.